guys, welcome to the Twiniversity Podcast, a show created exclusively for parents of twins. I'm your host, Natalie Diaz. I am a mom of twins. I am also the Twiniversity founder, and I am the best-selling author of the book, What to Do When You're Having Two. Our goal at Twiniversity is to make sure that you always feel connected, we laugh at the little things, and we really do get to teach you a few tricks along the way. And that is what we hope this podcast is about to do. So welcome to Twiniversity.
Hey, cats and kittens. So you guys know that in addition to being the big cheese at Twiniversity and the author of What to Do When You're Having Two, I am also the world's leading expert on twin gear. Did you guys know that? It's the truth. I am constantly keeping an eye on the products that are out there for you now, in addition to keeping an eye on the horizon for twin items to come. So that's why I'm so excited to tell you that today's podcast is brought to you by our friends at Baby Trend. So if you're creating a baby registry for twins, you guys got to keep Baby Trend at the top of that list. Baby Trend offers so many incredible products just for twins. From the original Snap and Go Double, which is one of the gold standards of Twiniversity, to the Go Light Twins Nursery Center, which is so super sweet. You guys got to check it out. Baby Trend has always placed our twin families at the forefront of their product line and also their product development line. It's amazing with the stuff that they keep coming out with. So for more information, visit babytrend.com. And you guys will see firsthand exactly what I'm talking about, because they will have a plethora of items just for you. It's me. Okay. Today we got another great episode for you. I am speaking with Miracle Simeon. So first of all, that name, is that not the best? It's like Miracle T. Simeon is actually her name. I feel it's so regal. Like I don't know. I love it. So Miracle and her fam have a very sweet YouTube channel, and they have been chronicling the whole journey of becoming a twin parent. So she's been through a lot. I will easily tell you that. So she was actually told that she was perimenopausal and that she wouldn't be able to have kids at a very young age, significantly earlier than typically people would be at perimenopausal. And, you know, I don't know. I say it in the podcast. I don't know if it was manifestation. I don't know if it was divine intervention. I don't know if it was, you know, just accident. I have no clue, but she is now well on her road to becoming a twin mama. She has a 4-year-old already and now is currently 35 weeks pregnant with girlies. And it's inspiring, because what we're going to talk about is basically like how to deal with life's curveballs, right? So if you're planning a family and you know that you want to grow it and it's just not working, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with what people say? And how do you deal with, you know, bad news? So Miracle is definitely somebody that I trust to lead us in the right direction and to give us a little positivity and a few strategies that are going to help us make our lives better. So without further ado, here is my good friend Miracle. Miracle, I am so happy that you are here. And in all sincerity, like all kidding aside, your parents definitely named you correctly. Yeah. You have had quite a lot of miraculous events in your short time of having kiddos, like just in this, it's pretty amazing. And I was watching your YouTube video about your twin pregnancy and hearing the story about how, like, some people would say that you manifested it, and then other people might say, oh no, that's what would happen. And then other people might say it was totally divine intervention. So your journey to pregnancy has been a fun one. And now here you are. Here you are, 35 weeks. Holy smokies. How is it going so far?
This pregnancy definitely has been difficult. It hasn't been easy, but I am so grateful to be 35. I know it is huge in the twin world. I released a video today, and I don't take it lightly, because a lot of people, you know, 32, 34. Mm-hmm. And for me to make it to 35, I am grateful. So I try to remind myself that through all the pain, through all the tightness of the belly and the tiredness, and, you know, I sound like I'm out of breath by saying one word, all of that.
Yep. We feel you on that. And then you also have the added bonus of your little dude running around.
So. Yes, my 4-year-old, soon to be 5-year-old, but yesterday he came up to me and he was like, "Mommy, let's practice contraction." And so he turns the lights on, he gets my phone, he goes to my meditation app. He programs a minute and he's like, relax, because he sees me and dad practice. Good. And so he's trying to rub my back. So that little dude is so supportive.
I love it. You're great. You're raising him to be a great partner. And that is honestly if you think about what our job is as parents, we could give them a lot of stuff. That's great. But honestly, it doesn't really matter because we've like my mom grew up with, you know, getting hand-me-down shoes from her older siblings. Like there was no choice. And so you could say like, oh, we gave them everything. It's really not. It's really the experiences that they have and then watching you, you know, be good humans to each other. And he's picked that up.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so happy.
It was so sweet.
Oh, I love it. So we are here today because you have a lot to offer and you've had, you know, some bumps in the road. And one of the things that I was most inspired by is really the way that you handle everything. Mm-hmm. And when you're, you know, a lot of times people feel very out of control during pregnancy and they feel that they just have to give up all decision-making to the doctors and they let people say whatever they want to say, but you have a very enlightened perspective on this and how a healthy pregnancy isn't just a doctor telling you that you're meeting your milestones, but a healthy pregnancy kind of encompasses a lot more. So I want to kind of dive into that because how have things been for you and what are some of the curveballs that, you know, you've been thrown during your pregnancy?
Well, from day one, that was a whole curveball because, you know, my son is four years old. He'll be 5 really soon. And so right about 2.5, we're like, okay, let's try to start having another one. So actually 1.5 years went by and nothing happened. And we got pregnant with Maverick within 6 months. So I'm doing the ovulation strips. I am tracking. I am like, we got to do it right now. It's very scheduled.
Yeah.
And nothing happened. And so finally I was like, okay, let's go check. Just go check out my levels, see if there's anything wrong, and get Chris checked as well. And so they do my blood work, and the doctor tells me I am going through premenopausal, you know, ovarian insufficiency, and I should stop my cycle within the next month. And so that was very shocking to me because I was consistent 28-day cycle, 28-day cycle. And then as soon as I got that report, it was like the next day, it was 45, it was 52, and then it stopped completely.
Yeah.
And so going through that, I just, the emotions and like getting that doctor's report, and he's saying the only way for you to have another kid is donor egg. Point blank, period. Like that's what they tell you. And so this whole time, I'm still having dreams of Mila. I had her name picked out before. If it was, the matter was going to be a girl, the name was going to be Mila. So everybody references Mila, they know. And so I'm having dreams about her. I'm journaling about her. I'm praying about her. But still you get this doctor's report that's saying it's not going to happen.
Yep.
And so holding on to that, I remember once I got the news, I did this exercise and was like, okay, what happened? How did it feel? I felt sad, depressed. Like it was my fault. I waited too long. You know, at the time I'm 34. So I'm like, you know, my eggs are bad. All it goes through your mind. And then for each negative thought I told myself, I had to come up with an alternative of what's the reality. I do have a son, you know, things can still change. I need to be present because I was, you know, sad and depressed for a little minute. I need to be happy with what I already have. And so that really helped me kind of get over that curveball. And then I was still believing. And so I ended up going to church And I asked my first lady to pray over me. She prayed. And then I kind of whispered in her ear, like, hey, you know, they're trying to tell me I can't have no more kids. And she's like, oh, no, going to be a girl. And then she turns to my husband and said, be prepared. It's going to be twins. And we like laughed it off. And when we did finally get pregnant, in the back of my mind, I was thinking, you know, Dr. Bridget did say I was going to have 10, but twins don't really my family at all. So I'm like, no. And then we found out that it was twins when it popped up on the screen. So we weren't like shocked. We just laughed because we were like, she's right. We're having twins. And this pregnancy, I mean, I've had the cold 3 times. Every trimester, I've had the cold. I got COVID. Third trimester. It hasn't been easy, but just trying to be grateful that we're even in this situation because it wasn't supposed to happen. So I loved how you said, is it just nature, is it divine intervention, like all of that? It's been a whirlwind.
Beyond. Yeah. I could, you know, it's so shocking as somebody who has gone through a whole bout of, you know, infertility, everything. It really is when you get, you know, the news that this isn't going to work, right? You just, you're like, okay, I'm done. There's a yeah. moment that's like, you know, I'm not meant to have kids. This wasn't meant to be, you know, for you, it would be, I'm just supposed to be, you know, a mom to one boy. It's hard, but you're like, okay, I have to accept this. When you were going through that period of time and you were saying like, you know, I would try to balance it with a positive, did it always work or did you really find it a struggle to kind of convince yourself that, you know, this is just what the reality is?
It was definitely a struggle because you're praying, you're doing whatever you need to do in the spiritual aspect, but this is naturally happening. Yeah. I am naturally not having the cycle. And that is a very important process to have kids. I am naturally like going through hot flashes. I am all of the stuff that's happening in the natural, and I'm just like conflicted because it's all these signs that say that this isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
But because I even tried to be like, I'm going to be a boy mom, she's going to be an only child, and that's it. But I was still having dreams about her. I was still journaling, because I journal every day, still journaling and praying for her. So, it is a struggle between the natural and like what you just feel in your gut deep down inside that this is still a possibility. And so, it was a time period where I kind of just like let things go. And it's like, whatever happens. Because that time when you're like trying to track your ovulation and you know, we have to do it right now. Like that is still stressful to make a baby. And it's not that easy. And that's something I was very sensitive to other mothers or other women in general, not asking them when you're going to happen, when you're trying again or what is the next one? Like, you got to be sensitive because you have no idea what people are going through. Mm. And another thing is the fact that I journaled these videos. I wasn't posting them at the time, but I just had this overwhelming urge to record these raw emotion that I was having, which turned into my YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that really helped to just kind of be vulnerable. Yeah. And I talk about this a lot as a female and then a Black female in general. We have to be so strong all the time. Like, it's a badge of honor to be so strong and have everything together. And inside, I'm like falling apart. Yeah. And so the YouTube was an outlet for me to just be like, today's a bad day. I cried all weekend. I'm going to get over this. But right now, at the moment, this sucks.
Yeah. Absolutely. How did your family handle it? Like when, you know, when you got the news from your doctor and you, because one of the things that's great is about your like pregnancy reveal to your family. And that was so sweet and so great. I loved it so much. But when, you know, when you initially got news that it looked like, okay, this isn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. Did you tell anybody that this is what the doctor said, or did you keep it private?
So ironically, when I got the doctor's phone call, I was mm-hmm. in this office working and my mother-in-law was over here. She randomly came over here to drop something out for Maverick. And Chris, my husband, was walking in and she got up and walked behind him because I think he was just coming like maybe to get something. And yeah. she got up and came in here and they both walked into me like sobbing. Mm. And so... he, of course, is like, what's going on? And I'm trying to talk and cry at the same time. And it was such a beautiful moment for me and, you know, my mother-in-law, because she just held me like, you know, I was five and she yeah. was my mom. Yeah. And I just told her like the news and there was nothing to be said. It was just a mother's love that I needed at the time. My mother, I mean, she's here, but she was just not physically here at yeah. the time. And so that was like the actual get off the phone call. But as far as my family, my sister is like, no, that's not happening. Like meal is still coming. So she was more of the, we're going to press forward. Mm-hmm. Like that's a cool story and all, but like the ending, the ending is still happening. And then my mom, she's so compassionate and loving. So she was just like, are you okay? Can I come bring you food and all of that? So everybody was super supportive. But I will say that I only told, you know, Chris, my mother-in-law, my mom, my sister. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty much it. I think I told one other cousin, but it was such a sensitive yeah. moment for me that. And that's why I recorded the videos and didn't release them until afterwards, because it was just so, I don't know, it was just so emotional and almost like private that yeah. this was happening.
It's raw. It was raw. It was a fresh wound that was still kind of bleeding and you yeah. just can't do it. But it's really wonderful that, you know, that you did that and you share it. And it's totally true. Like, you know, there's so many things that are expected of us. And you already were a mother. So, you know, you mm-hmm. had, you know, layer upon layer. And then, of course, you're going to have people that'll say, well, that's enough. You know, yeah. like you're okay. And sometimes you just don't want to hear that. And, mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, infertility. It doesn't matter if it's a pregnancy complication. It doesn't matter if it's a marital issue. Like there's a million things that sometimes it's really not useful when people try to offer you advice that they perceive as being positive and mm-hmm. you're just over it. It's, oh, you're yeah. over it before it even started. So I love that you kept these and you didn't release them because it's historical data is what it mm-hmm. is of what mm-hmm. happened. So now when you found out that you were pregnant and you were like, okay, this is weird now, right? Like it's definitely yeah. happening. And you know,
yeah.
how did you proceed? Was it with extreme caution or were you like, nope, this is the way it's supposed to be?
When we found out we were pregnant and we found out it was twins, I don't know if there's a book on this, but twin shock, it took me a while. I thought something was wrong with me because I couldn't move as far as like, you know, let's talk about baby showers and let's mm-hmm. talk about what I need. And
yeah.
I couldn't do anything because it took me a while to get over the twin shock that this is happening. And I still don't think I'm over it yet. But well into probably 20 weeks, I was like, I can't believe I'm pregnant with twins. Like, it's two of them? Like, yeah. I pray for Mila. I got to come up with another name.
It is. It's so, it's funny. And I will tell you, honestly, Miracle, it doesn't end. I'm still in shock.
Yeah.
17 years okay. later, I look at them and I say, I have no idea how this happened. I can't. And there was times when they were little and I would be like, when is their mother getting home? Like I can't do this anymore. I'm exhausted. So when you, so 20 weeks comes and now you do have to start getting prepared, right? You kind of come to terms with, okay, we got to buckle down. We got things to do. Was there still in the back of your mind any hesitation? So like, how hard is that? Because that's a tough transition, because that's a traumatic event that you had, and that you're going to carry some of that with you. You know, it's just going to happen. And, you know, you, everybody has different ways to get over things, but we do all have baggage. Mm-hmm. How long do you think that it took you to kind of unpack that? Do you think it was that 20 week mark that you were like, okay, I accept this, I'm breathing into it, we're moving forward? Or do you still think like, I'm still, you know, like there's still a lot of disbelief and I'm worried about it? Because you have such a positive attitude that I'm wondering if that started at kind of the twinnies conception, or if you, or if it blossomed during the time that you've been pregnant.
It's definitely blossomed, because I had self-doubt the whole time. And so when you have a single digit to a twin, I felt like, I know what to expect. I don't need to read the books. This is not my first rodeo. But when you have twins, it's a new rodeo. So you have to relearn everything. So I think it took all the way up until I felt them kick around 22 weeks, when I really kind of like, oh, they are kicking. But it was definitely a struggle. And I talked about it a lot. I had self-doubt. I had fear. I still process fear to this day, because I am trying, I've made the decision to do the birthing center versus the hospital. And you always are like, am I making the right decision for me and the baby? Or is this a what? You know, and I, for Maverick, epidural, C-section scheduled, like, I am that person. Like, I got a headache. Why feel pain? Let's take a Tylenol. But for the girls, I had a overwhelming feeling that this needed to be different. Mm-hmm. They were divine. So they need to come into this world in a totally different way. And it's so out of my character. And I'm still struggling with that, because how do you do something you really don't want to do, but you know you need to do it? Mm-hmm. So I'm
That's
still
processing. It's so tough that, you know, the best things in life sometime, of course, are the hardest, as cliche as that is. But childbirth is one of those things, man, because you do know, a lot of people will say, okay, yes, it's better to have your vaginal delivery. But, you know, no matter, as I really try to look at it, there really is no real right way to deliver babies. You could do whatever is going to work best for you, but honestly, it's really what's going to be best for the babies.
Exactly.
So with that being said, when you knew that you wanted to have a birthing center delivery, was there any opposition from your doctors because it was a twin delivery, or were they totally fine with it?
So they technically don't know yet. I told them I really wanted a vaginal delivery, and they would just be like, oh, we'll see. Because I'm seeing, of course, my OB and MFM every week. And so everybody's like, we'll see, we'll see. And now that I'm 35, they're just, the doctor was literally like, okay, I'm off on the 22nd. So we'll schedule your C-section for the 24th. So I'm scheduled for February 24th to do my C-section. And so I haven't had that conversation yet, because I can't handle a lot of other opinions right now.
Yeah.
They've all said the babies are safe.
Good.
This has been the most normal pregnancy.
Beautiful.
My levels are correct as far as diabetes and all of that. I've had excellent numbers. So they're constantly praising me on how well, you know, this pregnancy has been, because I told the doctor, you know, I'm doing a 5K. I did that at 33 weeks. And he was like, yeah, if you can do it, go ahead. So yeah, I'm going to have that conversation soon. Say I have officially decided to switch over to a, birthing center.
How has the birthing center handled that?
Oh, they, flying colors. I'm excellent for a birthing center twin. her name is Allison. She's one of the best. I'm in Houston, Texas. Mm-hmm. And so I tried to shop around.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, no, go with Allison. You're with the best team.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, I'm having twins. I want to do a natural. I've already talked to Allison. They're like, oh, you don't have to go any further.
That's it. That's great. You have to feel confident in whatever delivery situation it is. But and you're lucky that in your state that that is allowed. Not every state actually will take a twin delivery in a birthing center. And it's really, there's once again, there's so many variables, but it's so nice that you're going to be able to have that experience that you want. So I can't wait for you to have that conversation with the doctor. I'm dying to know what they're going to say. So yeah, we've had quite a few, we've had some home births that, you know, have happened at Twiniversity, and that's really not supposed to happen, but they had like an ambulance. They worked with their local, you know, administration to have literally an ambulance outside during the delivery, no matter how long it's going to be. It's really interesting how you might be able to have a lot of things that you didn't think you could if you just keep digging. Yes. So, you know, obviously it's not going to be a possibility for everybody, but I can't stress enough how important it is to advocate for yourself during your pregnancy and even during your conception period, like to say, like, we're going to keep going, you know, like, I understand what you're saying and good for you with your opinion on, you know, perimenopause, but we're still going at it. This is what's happening. Mm-hmm. So I love that you've always been doing that and staying so positive and so matter of fact about this whole thing, which is sometimes really hard, Miracle. You know, it's so tough when you have those, the down moments, or when people are coming at you with down moments. What is the shift that occurs in your mind that tries to transport you into the positivity?
Well, for me, I'm very aware of my emotion, and I want to feel what I am feeling. Mm-hmm. And so I don't try to suppress them, push them down, keep on going. If I am not doing good, Chris knows I'm going to go take a bubble bath and probably go cry. And Maverick knows to not come in there because it's mommy's time.
Yeah.
And really, you know, talking it out about what is going on, how am I feeling, and where is this coming from? So a lot of people try to keep themselves busy and just like go straight to positivity. Yeah. I don't want to give that misconception out. There is something happened, and I am processing it for genuinely 3 days, and then I can come and be positive. But it's just not something happens positivity. And taking that time to grieve whatever's going on, or cry it out, or be like, why isn't this working out for me? Yeah. That's very important, to ask yourself questions and be like, this sucks. Why do I have to go through this? Yeah. And then the lesson comes usually next. Okay, what did I learn from all of this? Was I trying to grow in this area of being trust, or not having doubt? And then the positivity comes. So it's almost like a four-stage, I don't know if that was three or four, stage process to even get to the positive side. Going through it, allowing me to explore everything that's going on and what I'm feeling. What's the lesson that I am learning? And then I can be positive about the lesson that I learned and not just the bad feeling, because emotions are temporary. And I'm very aware of that. But some people just suppress the emotion. Go ahead and feel those emotions. They won't last long. You know, me rewatching the video of the news, I'll get sad. But in that moment, it was devastating.
Yeah.
But I don't have that same emotional feeling now, because you know, time has passed.
It's time does heal all wounds. Some stay fresh, but I think by you being so upfront about the way that you were feeling in the moment and refreshing and like watching that, you could see how far you've grown. Where sometimes a lot of people have a whole period of growth, but they don't notice it because they can't remember what their baseline was. So for you doing that, now, honestly, I think that whether it is paper journaling or video journaling or even just, you know, texting somebody, you know, your thoughts, a big thing that I always, I should say it more in Twiniversity is you could create an email for yourself for you. So you could write yourself emails to a different. So write for me, I would send it from Natalie at Twiniversity, but I would send it to, you know, Nat Rocks 87 or whatever the heck it is. You could create a separate email for yourself and keep that as your journal. Not everybody really wants to, you know, have a paper because then maybe somebody could read it. And sometimes people, you know, get a little like, I don't want people having access to this. But if you had a closed system where you know that you could talk to yourself virtually, it is not, there's never a bad time to keep a kind of chronological, you know, a journal of how things have been going. So I love,
I've so really important
done that
because we remember the things we need to forget and we forget the things we need to remember. And so having that email or just reminding yourself like, wait, I survived this. I survived that. Wait, I survived that too. You can remind yourself that I am really a survivor. I'm just going through the storm right now.
Yeah. There was there's this whole theory that says when you're thinking about yourself, you should always remember yourself as the sky, that you are never the storm and that storms will pass, but that you are the clouds and the blue and that sharp when you, you know, when you think about when you're in a plane and you're going above it. And when you finally the world opens up and you're like, oh, that is really who you are. And there's going to be a lot of storms. They're going to come and go. But keeping that perspective of like the reality of this is just a storm and it's going to pass. It's so smart. And like Miracle, you do it so beautifully. You really, really do. And another thing I really want to talk about, because you said something when you in the interview that we had, is that you said you can control what you could control what you say and tell yourself, but you really can't control what other people say and tell themselves. And this is where like that negativity starts to like seep in like a vine crawling up the side of your house. When you are your own vine and you're creeping in, is there something that you have learned through your whole experience? And this goes back from, you know, from when you were little, is there something that says, okay, this is how I'm going to rip these vines off to, to get back to where we are and ignore whether it's your own thoughts or whether it's people's stupidity, because in point blank, it's just dumb what people say. Sometimes it's such a shame, but you have, you know, you have your process, like you told us about, you know, the wonderful four-step process, which by the way, I think should be its own book. But do you have something that's quick that maybe you're even teaching your son to kind of pull those vines away?
So this is definitely credited to my dad, and I used to, I couldn't stand it. But as we were growing up, he would always say, you have what you say, you know, watch your tongue, whatever you're speaking out, even as something as small, like, we didn't cuss growing up, but if you would have said, oh, it's hot as hell, you would be like, no, no, it's not. Like you couldn't, or this head is going to kill me. He was like, you want to die? Like, don't say that. And so it took me so long to get that because I had a dad from when you're little up into college saying, you have what you say, you have what you say, watching what, what comes out of your mouth. And so the same thing comes when your thoughts. Your internal thoughts. So the hardest part for me, I still struggle, is when I am natural, because having twins is kind of like a call out for the public, and I understand that. And I do struggle when I am talking to people about the twins, because it's so natural to just be like, I'm tired. This is it, like complaining about it in a sense. Or even when they ask you questions, you're like, you don't understand. Because having twins, you're like, you don't understand. It's not like having one baby. You're carrying two at the same time. And, and you need to be mindful of what is actually coming out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Because I have had the grace to carry them, even throughout all the stuff that I've been through. I'm still here, 35, and they are healthy. Mm-hmm. So that is really hard when I say you have to be kind to yourself, mm-hmm. and be like, yes, at the moment, you know, I got up to pee 5 times, but they're still healthy.
Yeah.
You have to find that positivity and just allow yourself grace to still get through the process, because there's an end date. I'm not going to be pregnant forever. Yeah. Like, they're coming out. Eventually, I'll be able to lay on my stomach, which I can't wait to do. So that was really my intent to tell pregnant twins moms out there, be kind to yourself.
Yeah.
There's so many mommy groups that I find, and we just like constantly beat ourselves up during the pregnancy and once they're here. And the stuff we say, it's just,
it's a
we
lot.
Are hard on ourselves.
Holy
we
smoke, we are.
Really hard.
We're the worst. You know, like, you are your own worst enemy. And mm-hmm. it's you get lost in it. Honestly, mm-hmm. Miracle, you know, like, people just do. And you could buy into it so quickly, and you could buy into the negativity and just let it pull you into this quicksand. It's horrendous. It really mm-hmm. is. And I'll meet moms, you know, whether it's through class or whether it's through just little quick calls that I'll have with somebody if I see that they're struggling. But holy smoke, it's so easy for you to bring yourself into a spiral. And I mm-hmm. think that the process that you have, and be like, okay, I'm giving myself a minute. Okay. I'm going to process it. I'm going to evaluate it. And then I'm going to come out from it. It's so important that for you, you have a process. Everybody may have a different process, but if you mm-hmm. could figure it out during, I would love to say if everybody could figure it out in their teens, but we know that's not happening. But the sooner that you could figure out what the process is for you, that's going to be effective and make you feel more whole and better, the better that it's going to be. And sometimes people will just assume that it's too late. Like, I'm too far gone. It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And one of my all-time favorite sayings is, it's only too late if you don't start now. And it's kind of like, I'm totally stealing your dad's. You have what you say too, by the way. So just make sure that he knows that I will be using that, because it's that same thing. It's like, we convince ourselves of things, and sometimes we're convincing that we just can't do it, but it's never too late for anybody. And this isn't like, you know, a Tony Robbins motivational speech. It's just the freaking truth. And the yeah. sooner that you realize that that is true, that is not true for public personas or people who, you know, have motivational classes and Oprah, like, it's true for everybody. We just have to find the strategy that works for us. And I love that you continuously share, Miracle. Honestly, you share your family with us. You share your trials and tribulations with us, the joys and successes. It really is. It's very refreshing, and it's a little heartbreaking, but I love that there's, you know, that it's a series, and you kind of see that goodness happens. Mm-hmm. So it's just really beautiful, Miracle. Honestly, I'm very humbled by, you know, what you're doing, and that you took time to play with us. And I really do. Like, when people say, Nat, you say that to everybody, but I swear to you, I really am. I can't believe that you guys take the time out of your day to play with us, because you just want to pass it on. And you just keep passing it on. So the little bits that you learn, you're like, Miracle's like, I got something to tell people. Here's what it is. Truth bomb, the end. Let's move on. It's just beautiful. And I can't wait for these little girlies to get here. And I'm so happy that there's two, because if there wasn't, I probably would have never met you if it was just one.
I am so happy. You don't understand. They're like, are you getting interviewed by a celebrity? I'm like, yep, I am. The twin world?
Now you know the truth. You know the truth that I am literally just in a messy office. My dog, I'm glad she didn't bark just now, with my cup of tea that's 5 hours old now that I look at it. That's how fancy I am, making my own tea. Who does this? Who lives like this? And Miracle, I love you so much. I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy for the whole family. I can't wait to see what a real big brother looks like, because I'm sure we're going to see that on the yeah. tube as well. And in yeah. all sincerity, and so for those of you that are listening, trust me, we're going to put everything in the show notes, so you'll have links to it, so you could go and get inspired on the regular too. So Miracle,
do you need
honestly,
a baby bump? A shot
Oh my gosh, do it. I want to see, is it impressive? Oh, now that's a belly. Yes. Oh, you are so perfect. That's a great maternity shirt too. That looks
Thank
nice
you.
And comfortable.
It I is.
Oh, good. Enjoy Ooh. It. Wear that for the
I
next
I really needed minute. To stand up, so.
Good. Perfect timing. I love it. I always feel like I want to see everybody's bump on the show, but I never want to ask. It's like asking somebody if you could touch their belly. Like, I'm like, where's my boundary? I don't know. But if anybody's listening and you're on the show, know that I always want to see your belly. Always. It's, I mean, there should not be.
We have pants on, so it could be hit or miss.
I don't even care. It doesn't even matter. Remember, I'm a lactation consultant too. Half the time people are half naked anyway, when I'm on a Zoom with them. I'm used to it. But Miracle, thank you so much for playing thank with you. Me today. I really appreciate it. All right, Miracle, you stay right there. And for everybody that's out there in the universe, just know that we really do. We mean what we say here at Twiniversity, and we really want you to have the best experience possible. And we know that not everybody is going to have the easiest of times, but as Miracle's dad will always say, you have what you say. So keep trying to stay positive and know that we're here for you. And we do have our monthly meeting. If you have a hard time, come and just pop in. It's the first Monday of every month. Pop in, grab some bits of wisdom from your fellow twin parents. That's literally what we're doing here. And that's just twiniversity.com/memberships if you need the dates or whatever. But know that we are really always here for you. And you could email us at community@twiniversity.com, or you could send us a message on any single social media platform. We are literally just at Twiniversity every place. So we hope you enjoy this. Like and subscribe, blah, blah, blah. And until next time, guys, see you later, alligators. Thanks for listening.